The garden at about 40 acres square, with the tributary running diagonally along the middle from southeast to northwest. At the center of the garden, in a clearing near the water's edge, two trees grew apart from the others. According to legend, to eat of the fruit of one of these trees meant eternal life. 2 furlongs separated Malik and his companions, gathered on a sultry morning atop a Mesopotamian hill, from their prize. Malik, along with his father, brother, and friend, led a party of 25 men from Eden. They were joined by another 25 from the far eastern city of Enoch. But Shechem, wearing a sand-colored tunic and newly fashioned sandals, appeared disinterested in the trees, gesturing instead to something in the foreground.
What about him?
A man dressed all in white stood at the east end of the garden, guarding the path leading from the entrance to the clearing. A gold band girded his chest, and the blade of a long sword extended from his grip. A flaming sword. Malik's thick, wiry eyebrows dropped, and he scratched his short growth of beard. He drove his donkey to the edge of the hill, scanned the area below, and returned. "We'll stick with the diversion. There are 50 of us. Against those odds, I wouldn't care if he had a sword of lightning. Everyone ready?" Shechem and the others nodded, only to be distracted by the approach of a company of men on donkeys and camels, riding up the rise behind them. In the lead, a man whose snow-streaked hair and mid-length beard Malik recognized. He met Noah and 21 of the elders of Eden when they reached the summit.
"You're a long way from the city, preacher."
"Nobody for you to lecture out here." "I have a message for the men of Eden from my father, the governor."
"Then, by all means, deliver it and go."
"Lamech has learned of your scheme to pillage the garden and has sent me with the elders to turn back their sons from this evil."
He laughed. "Are these men not of age? Are they not free to make their own choices?"
The preacher appeared to scan the faces of the men opposite him. "Age is no substitute for wisdom, and choosing to die is never a wise choice."
"We did not come here to die."
"No, you came here to steal." Malik narrowed his eyes. "But you will die all the same if you continue upon this course."
"No, preacher.
Each of these men will inherit the gift of immortality once they've tasted of the fruit of the tree of life."
Excited murmurs rose from among his men.
"Do you not even fear God, seeing it was he who placed the angel to guard the entrance to the garden?"
"I don't believe in God or angels. What I see down there is a man, and a man, even a man with a sword of fire, can be defeated or outwitted."
"Enough!"
One of the elders called his son's name and ordered him to leave the raiders. One by one, the remaining patriarchs called out their sons, and one by one, they joined their fathers. Malik's jaw tightened. When one son failed to move quickly enough, his father rode up beside him and kicked his mount in the right gaskin. The donkey bucked, unseating its rider, leaving his adult son sprawled in the dirt. The son got to his feet and staggered a few paces before joining his father. After this, the remaining sons of Eden were swift to comply with their father's orders. By the time the parade of traitors finished cowering to their fathers, Malik's anger had switched to contempt. He sneered at them.
"Well, I guess I should thank you, preacher.
Thank you for helping to separate the wheat from the chaff. But the rest of these men are from Enoch. How shall you persuade them?"
"With the truth, I hope."
"Do they know you have brought them on a quest from which they may not return?" He straightened in the saddle, lifting his chin.
"I doubt that."
"Men of Enoch, I urge you in the name of Yah not to embark upon this path. It is folly to test an angel of God." Some of the men whispered among themselves, but Malik quickly intervened to reinforce their backbones, his voice rising.
"There are still nearly 30 of us. 30.